This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed, and therefore should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement, medical or health advice, or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discretion, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical, the podcast that explores the intersections of science and spirituality and the seen and the unseen phenomena happening all around us all the time. Today, we are discussing the metaphysics of travel. My guest is a dear old friend, Lily Apple, who has journeyed with me on some of my current travels. She is an avid traveler and an astrologer and also the perfect person to speak to on this topic. So I've been really looking forward to this discussion. But first, I want to share an email we received from a listener about our last episode on the metaphysics of dreaming. Dear Ren, I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed your podcast about lucid dreaming. I was abused as a child, and after a couple of really nasty nightmares when I was 4 years old, I became a lucid dreamer so I could wake myself up when things got too scary. It was completely organic. I didn't want any more nightmares, so it happened for me. This led to so many other branches of the dream world, and I have even spoken to my deceased grandmother who shared a family secret from Cuba. She even gave me the address of a church in Cuba that still exists with a graveyard in the courtyard as confirmation. I'm just glad to know that others can dream walk too. I just learned about your podcast today, so I've only listened to 2 shows so far, but great topics. I plan to continue listening. Thank you, Sherry in Illinois. I just wanted to share this because I love getting emails like this, and we've been receiving a few emails lately about our episodes, and I love reading them. And so if you have any connection to an episode that we have and want to share your experience with us, please don't hesitate to email us, and maybe we'll share your story at a future episode of Let's Get Meta. And also, if you have questions, if you have metaphysical questions, or if you have ideas about episodes we can do, please feel free to email us at info@letsgetmeta.com. All right, now on to our discussion of the metaphysics of travel. So are you ready? Then let's get meta. Greetings, listeners. Hello from Luang Prabang, Laos. I am here with my dear friend, Lily Apple. Welcome to the show, Lily.
Thank you.
I'm so thrilled that we are having this conversation.
Me too.
Because we both love travel and we both love spirituality. And we're both going through so many programs and transformations right now.
Just a few.
So I start my show the same with everybody. Would you please share a metaphysical experience or story that you've had?
I live pretty strongly in astrology, where I get so much of my information. And I've worked with a number of really amazing practitioners who are kind of able to talk about what's there for me in my chart and about what's there like on a universal plane. There are other metaphysical experiences that I have that have been sort of like one-offs, but I would say more consistently than anything else, working in astrology and within that system has helped me realize background truths, I almost want to call them. Like they're ever present and you can tune in or not. And it's a way of helping yourself plug into universal forces and gain tools about like what's going on in the background or in some cases very much the foreground for not just you but for other people too. So it's been kind of a lifelong thing that I've been learning. I'm still such a novice, but working with experts and other practitioners has been like mind-blowing and amazing and consistent results.
Mm-hmm. Is there a specific kind of
time
story that comes to mind that encapsulates like the how astrology has come into your life so strongly?
Yeah, so actually, and it is related to travel, so
excellent.
I was in Iceland for a total of 3 months traveling through very slowly. It's like the circumference of Ohio, basically. Mm-hmm. And one of the volcanoes there, sort of north of Reykjavik, this was like 6 years ago, is in Snæfellsnes Peninsula. And it's actually the same volcano that's in Jules Verne's Journey to the Center of the Earth. Mm. And the local people, as well as other visitors, definitely talk about like a certain energy that's there. And the way that I experienced it was that it was just easier to do anything there, almost like Sedona. There's like a clarity and there's an ease to connecting to things that aren't necessarily earthly or otherwise. And so I felt that the minute I started to get near the peninsula in general. And as I was moving out west, the peninsula goes west, I reached a small town, and it's really nothing to write home about. Like, it's cute, but there's just like a school, and there's like a really nice view there that's in some of like the famous postcards about Iceland at this point. And I was just walking around, like I was taking pictures and just walking around, and I started to feel this like urgency that I needed to connect on like a deeper level with this area and with myself and to kind of check in. So I walked away from my hostel and I was like walking down past schools and stuff. And then I sat along the water and I just out of nowhere was able to tap into deceased people in my family. And they were connecting with me very clearly. And I was like, okay, well, this is it. At the time, 6 years ago, this was not something that I was used to or that I had any access to, especially on purpose, and was essentially able to talk to them and to just get really important information. I knew I was in Iceland for like a while, with not so much a mission, but with a lot of, healing to do. And I'd kind of worked with some practitioners before going, particularly this one psychic medium who was like, oh yeah, that's going to be a really important trip for you. And sure enough, this was kind of the start to what I suddenly realized was like a really deep healing. I had my mom passed away, as you know, and this was only like 5 years after that happened. And I felt her just so clearly and plainly, and regardless of what I've been able to do since then, that was the very first time where I was like, whoa. So yeah, and that was without practitioner guidance. That was definitely a gift of the place where I was and what I was able to do because of the natural energy in that environment. So it was amazing and unexpected for sure, and it started a long time now, 6 years later, 7 years later, of a lot of work around this very thing, especially while traveling.
Okay. Wow. So that one, that didn't have an astrological twist on it, that particular one. But that's like a huge theme in your life too.
Yes.
That's amazing. I've been to where you're talking about.
Have you?
Yeah. And it was a really cloudy day and it was only a day trip. And now I'm kind of like, oh, yeah. Iceland, I need to do you again. Like the whole thing, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
I wasn't there long enough. Yeah. I love that because, you know, today we're talking about travel and the spirituality and the expansion and the metaphysical experiences that we have while traveling and one can have while traveling. And it almost seems, for me, it seems almost more accessible sometimes, at least, I guess, before this was such a huge part of my life. Mm-hmm. It seemed like those kinds of experiences were more readily available when I was traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I've said that sort of over and over, especially to people who, and there's nothing wrong with this, view travel as solely like a vacation experience. I don't even really think I believe in vacations.
Right. Yeah.
You could take a vacation in your backyard. Yeah, it's usually not about like getting away from my real life. It's like actually connecting very deeply with my real life.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of the most profound spiritual experiences I've had, and some of the first spiritual experiences that I've had, or metaphysical experiences, or just heart expansion experiences, have been while traveling. I remember experiences in India and experiences in Senegal, a particular experience in Senegal that just blew me wide open, and I had no idea that it was coming. And I wonder, at the time, I remember these kind of things happening while traveling and wondering, why does this happen while I'm traveling? Like, why isn't this happening more? Well, I'm just in my day-to-day life where right. I was living at that time. Mm-hmm. And now I think I have a bit more insight into that.
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts about that?
So astrology kind of rules my life.
Yeah.
Long-distance travel is in the ninth house. That's where it lives for all of us in our charts and for everyone. There's always an influence on everyone of the ninth house. It just varies slightly. And Jupiter rules the ninth house. So Jupiter is the planet of expansion.
Right.
And so the two are married, you know, forever.
Right.
They're inextricably aligned. And so it's not just a mistake that we see, like, long-distance, long-term travel as, like, an eye-opening, awakening experience of growth and other stuff. But it's actually, you know, if you're in the world of astrology, that's very much the same thing.
I never realized that.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I have thought about is that you're... So if you're, especially if you're in places, well, I don't know, it doesn't, I was going to say, especially if you're in places where the culture isn't like your own culture, mm-hmm. isn't very much like it. But actually, you know, I would kind of go back on that because I've had really magical experiences in cultures that resemble the United States.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like New Zealand and Australia yeah. is not so far off from. Yeah. From the culture in the United States.
Compared to where we are now.
compared to Laos, yes. It is very different here. But actually, there is something about being so completely out of your comfort zone that forces you to let go mm-hmm. and surrender to where you are and the weather that you're in and the food that you're presented with and the accommodation that you're given.
Yeah. And the water guns that are spraying you.
And the water guns that are spraying you during Thai New Year's that you cannot stop ever. And the buckets and the hoses. But there's something about that and being so completely like in an unfamiliar space that you just have to surrender enough. And I think that there's something in that about being able to let go enough to your own clinging, your own control mechanisms yeah. that we don't even see in our daily lives.
Yeah.
And our own comfort levels that can allow for these experiences to happen and
yeah.
more experiences of that nature, expansion, spirituality.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree. I would even say, like, long-distance, long-term travel actually has the same barriers to it, right? Like, you have to let go in order to just be successfully in that environment. Because it's not for everyone, right?
Like, no, it's
some
not.
Some people are like, no, I need my coffee at 6 a.m. every day, or, like, I can't, you know, I don't do well in heat X or, like, cold or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Or I don't like bugs crawling on my wall next mm-hmm. to my bed.
Yeah.
Or I can't breathe the air because there's so much smoke because of the fire pollution at this particular time of the year. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bringing up actually a story from the first time that I was in Senegal. I've told about my huge spiritual experience while in Senegal several times. Actually, I don't know if I have on the podcast, so look for the bonus content for this episode, listeners, if you want to hear about that, because it's pretty amazing. But this one just came to mind it's around letting go. Like, we all just got there. I was studying abroad there. There were, you know, 21 of us or whatever. And it's completely different than anywhere we've ever been. You know, we're all from the U.S. and then we find ourselves living in homestay families in Dakar. and it's just everything is completely different. So you're kind of like getting used to the culture. And I remember one of my dearest friends now, who I met on that trip, we didn't like each other right away on the trip. Like, right? You know, this happens with our soulmates. We're either instantly attracted or instantly repelled by people. And then
always
you kind
a strong of, reaction. Always, way.
It's a strong reaction either way. And like two of my other best friends on that trip, we were like immediately, you know, attracted, you know. But this person and I, we didn't get each other for the first month and a half, and like I'm actually going to her wedding later this year. But the thing I didn't get about her, and now I'm like seeing this come round, so I'll get there, but like is she was so uncomfortable in Senegal, and I at first not the whole time, but the heat and everything, and I think she may have gotten sick pretty early on and whatever, and it was just very hard for her to be there, and I couldn't understand her because I was having a really beautiful experience.
Right.
But I just realized now while we were talking, the reason I was kind of repelled by that is because I also had her behavior going on in different aspects that I just realized now.
Oh,
so I also had my own resistance to things that were happening in Senegal. It just looked very different from hers.
Yeah.
For example, the thing that came to mind is the electricity would go out a lot. And for the first month and a half, I used to get so upset when the electricity went off. Like, how am I going to finish my homework?
This is a system that doesn't work.
Exactly, right? And, like, that was me, like, and where I was at that moment. And, like, you know, wanting to control, like, having electricity and wanting to do my homework and wanting to stay in the Western paradigm and academic paradigm of doing those things. Mm-hmm. And now, like, as I'm talking about this now, I recognize that obviously, like, I was having those things and so was my friends in different ways and whatever. And then this beautiful thing happened two and a half, three months in for, I think, all of us, but I'll speak for myself. And I think my friend would agree with her as well, that at some point I just let go of needing to do the things that I thought that I needed to do at the time I needed to do them. And I made a complete shift from, oh no, the electricity is gone, I can't do X, Y, Z, to, oh good, the electricity's off, I can go and just hang with my family in the dark.
Aww, yeah. Yeah,
and, you know,
you tapped into your inner 5-year-old. Oh, good! I don't have to do my homework.
Well, that too. You know, I didn't even. I guess
I'm kind of kidding.
Yeah, no. But like that too. You know, in a sense, it's like, oh wait, I get a break.
Yeah,
and I get to just chill and be and like hang out with my homestay family, who's also just like kind of sitting in the dark and talking and whatever.
Yeah, that's that resistance piece. That's like, oh, this is unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that, like, even that one experience, and this is, like, even before, like, the other several huge other experiences that I would say came out of Senegal, but, like, that even that just profoundly, like, shifted something in my mind. Like, I recognized, like, oh, wow, like, this is such a rigid way to be, and, like, to have these expectations of these things and to not go with the flow. What I wasn't doing was going with the flow.
Yeah, yeah. Which, yeah, it doesn't work. Like, if you're trying to, especially in long-term travel, like, we're kind of saying that you could probably get away with that for, like, a week, maybe. And then the world takes over, right? Like, you can't control everything. If you're trying to integrate into the culture and, or whatever that means.
Right.
If you're trying to be there for 4 months and live there like a local, to the best of your ability as a visiting American, that's like it doesn't work to be like, oh, I'm what the heck.
It's trying to swim upstream.
Yeah.
It's like it is very much trying to go against the flow. And I mean, we've seen that so much just on our last week, 2 weeks together, too. I mean, just this morning, you got the email that our Airbnb in Vietnam
canceled for
tonight. Yeah. And I think that, you know, 10 years ago or, you know, however long, let's just say 10 years ago, if that exact same situation happened, I would have been like, oh, no, like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks so much.
Yeah.
And, like,
had a fit.
And, like,
I was just like, okay, let's find another place. Yeah. And so were you, you know, like yep. we were both just like, all right, let's find yeah. another one. Yeah. Right. And yeah. like, yeah, it's the, we've both been all around the world now. And I think, the flowing is getting easier and easier. Yes. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But then we're still thrown into uncomfortable situations, new situations.
I know. Well, thank God. Right. Because then we get to grow and do lots of good work. And, yeah, there's always more to do.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, yeah, the resistance and the flow. And I think you touched on something when you said long-term travel. Because it is hard to... It is hard to go with the flow when you're only on what we might call quote unquote vacation for a week.
Yep.
You know, you land and then your hotel cancels and that might be like a really horrible next couple of days for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it has to be just because it's short term, because it doesn't. You can still go with the flow in those cases as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But yeah, for like more long term travel.
Yeah. There's like something there about planning. And if you have 2 weeks, you can be precious in a way that you can't be when, or I suppose you could be precious with 3.5 months of travel, but, it's, I think that the culture around 3.5 months of travel is like, there's some flexibility because if you lose a day, just figuring out what's wrong, you know, or, not even what's wrong, but just what canceled or what, you know, what changes are happening. If you and I were traveling for, say, like 6 weeks as opposed to 3 weeks, we probably could have been like, you know what? The pollution in Thailand and Laos is like so extreme. Let's dip and come back.
Right.
As opposed to where we know we only have like 3.5 weeks. And so we have to be like a little precious and or just go with the flow, go with the pollution.
Right. And just to be clear for everyone listening, it's not always this. It's
no,
not always polluted
no.
where we are. It just happened yeah. to be this time of year, and they were getting their
no,
fires in before the rainy season. And
yeah,
cetera,
and in fact, it's
not like
clearing.
This all the time.
Yeah, it's clearing now, and it's really beautiful.
It's really beautiful here. Yeah, I just on this trip, I've been traveling for about 3 months now. Just on this trip, so many things have happened that I could not have planned. And I'm one of those people, especially for this trip, who liked, I wanted to plan like where I was sleeping and like my flights basically, mm-hmm. but like not what I was doing during the days a lot mm-hmm. of the time. But even that, you know, got thrown off in a good, in a beautiful way some of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in New Zealand. Probably.
Like in New Zealand, yeah. When I had the opportunity to sleep on the glacier at Franz Josef and be the first group to sleep on the glacier ever.
So cool.
Besides the glacier guides mm-hmm. themselves. That I could not have planned. I just had to be, it's like my guides, you know, my guidance mm-hmm. or the universe put me in the right place at the right time to be able to experience that, and it was a profoundly moving experience. But I couldn't have planned that. There's no way I could have planned that. And I'm sure that people listening to this are identifying with times that they've traveled or been in new spaces and maybe even not known, you know, have been uncomfortable or off, you know, from their norm a little bit, and the most beautiful things have happened
yeah.
because of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess you don't need to be traveling or on a voyage for that to happen.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I've been wanting to do an episode on this topic particularly because it seems like you're putting, like travel puts you in the circumstances to be able to have to let go a bit more.
Absolutely.
And let yeah. the universe in.
Yeah. And when you let the universe in, it can totally shift your entire relationship with metaphysics and what's possible. So
you sound like you have like you have experience with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Iceland one was just the beginning. Iceland in particular was like a really moving time. But in New Zealand, actually, so 2 years ago when I was there for a few months, my family lives there, and I was, like, having a lot of trouble. I kind of got there, and I was in rough shape, was just, like, in a tough spot mentally, and then was kind of staying in that tough spot. No matter where I was going while I was there, it wasn't I was seeing like such incredible things, but it was very hard for me to get present to what I was seeing, to even really realize that I was in New Zealand, which sounds absolutely mind-boggling, but was the experience that I was having. And I kept likening it to, it's like, you can see, you know, 17 different beautiful waterfalls, but if you're not in a good spot, it kind of doesn't matter, right?
Right.
So I was being delivered to really incredible things, but I still wasn't okay, and I still wasn't okay. And I kind of extended my stay there. A lot of the reason why was because I wasn't in a good spot, and I have family there, so I was lucky enough to, like, be able to do that. And then it became clear to me, painfully clear, that I had to leave where my family was staying and go on an excursion into the rest of the country one last time. And I ended up woofing. I was running out of money. What better thing to do when you don't have much money?
What is woofing?
Woofing is organic farming. So it's completely free. They pay for your stay and food. And you end up, I mean, you do your research, you pay the dues, you do your research, you end up on good farms. It can be a really great experience.
So when you say it became really clear that you had to leave and do this thing, what does that mean for you?
Like,
how did it become clear?
Yeah. Well, one was pretty straightforward. I was sort of being pushed out of the house because my family was like, dude, you're here, go. Like, go see the rest of this amazing country. And I was like, I was in such a state where it was kind of like, I was like, no, I'll just go on jogs and live in the suburbs. You know, like, it was hard to push me into the adventure that I'm usually very happy to do. And so in that way, I was literally being encouraged to go. And then on the other hand, some messiness was going on with my job back home and when I was going to reenter the U.S. And I realized that I had a new end date. And I got this sense of urgency where I was like, I am not finished here. And it didn't feel like it was coming from me. So I, despite any resistance that I had, I pushed through it. And I was like, this is the thing to do. This is what I'm going to do. So I found this amazing organic farm, this woman, and there were 9 of us there. And literally, I'd been there for 2.5 months, and I got there and was exactly what we're talking about, resistant. I felt like I was wrapped in layers of saran wrap, like, just, you know, you could see the outside world, but it was fuzzy, and I wasn't interacting with it. It was just a bizarre time.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of the 9 days that I was there, I was able to completely unwrap. And it had to do with getting back to the earth. I mean, it was permaculture. We were planting by moon cycles, and I was with really, really incredible people who were from all over the world. And we were eating only vegan Ayurvedic food because that was the rules of the kitchen. You know, it was like very, the environment was set up for me, of course, but it was really the fact that I was getting back to the earth and I had my hands in dirt. And
You were grounding.
I was grounding. I was majorly grounding.
Grounded before.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Even though you were surrounded by beauty. And
yeah. Yeah. And when I left that farm, I had removed all wrappings. I was awake. I was back. And made like a bunch of life changes that I needed to. So it's actually kind of interesting now that we're talking about the length of time that you travel, because I was there for 2.5 months, saw so much of the country. And then what really did it for me was like an 8-9 day, just getting my hands dirty and just totally facing that thing that made me uncomfortable.
Totally.
So, yeah.
No, I love that. And that's, sometimes that's how it happens. You can be in a place for a whole semester and it's like 3 days.
Perfect.
That completely changes your life.
Yeah.
And then it even puts like kind of a little glimmer on the rest of it. And you're not the only person to be like wrapped up in yourself and like, or have a meltdown, you know, while traveling. And sometimes that's a huge blessing. You know, I had a recent meltdown in, several months ago, maybe November, last November, when my partner and I were in Ireland and it was literally the last like few hours before we went back to the US and we were trying to get to the airport and waiting for the bus. And we gave ourselves plenty of of time, but for whatever reason, this particular bus just did not show up. And, you know, it finally showed up. We're on it, and it, we're, like, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes later, we're still in Dublin, like, picking everybody up before, yeah. like, heading to, onto the highway. And I started just being, like, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. And, like, I'm not like that. But yeah. I was. I had a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
And so we ended up, you know, she was like, okay, let's get out and go into a taxi. And we did it, and we made it. But even just seeing how, like, crazy and triggered I got in yeah. that, in those, like, that half hour, it was such a reminder to be like, oh no, like, let go. Like,
yeah,
the universe has you with this.
Yeah.
So that was a really good lesson. So as you can probably hear, we had a change of venue about halfway or however long through this episode we are. The background noise is different. We were having the first part of this conversation in Luang Prabang, Lao, and while we were still talking, we were being summoned to get into our tuk-tuk to go to the airport, and that happened about 20 minutes earlier than we had planned that that would happen. So
yeah, keeping us at our word about being flexible.
Yeah, exactly. Listening and kind of trying to flow with the universe when the tuk-tuk driver says, get in the tuk-tuk now.
And you go.
What's cool about that is that this is the first episode that is being recorded on the same day in two different countries.
Amazing.
So we are now in Hanoi, Vietnam, to finish up this episode. We've been here for a couple hours now and had some really great fried rice that came in a coconut.
Yes. Yeah. And it is busy out there. It's a wild, fast-paced city.
It is very different than Luang Prabang. And yeah. I'm curious if our listeners will sense a difference in our own energy from the first half of the episode to the second half of the episode.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I feel like we're a little shell-shocked.
Maybe. Yeah. There's a lot of people outside. No, but it feels good. We're back here to continue our conversation. Before we, you know, left off, I would think I was about to say, to bring up the concept of how different places around the world have such different energies and hold different things and hold different histories and hold different spiritualities and hold different entities and hidden people and fairies and dragons and mythology and legend and truth. And what came to mind for me, what was coming alive for me just before we left Lao to come to Vietnam, was an experience I had when I was flying to Peru, where I was able to spend a month of time in 2016. And what happened was, well, just to preface this little tidbit, whenever I fly, and this has started for me when I was maybe in my teens, just randomly, whenever I fly in an airplane, right before I take off, for some reason, Joan of Arc would show up, and in my mind's eye, I could see her and a bunch of other kind of warrior/angels, I think mostly on the angel side, outside of the plane, kind of directing the plane, like, into the air.
Wow.
As though they were, like, air traffic control people, only, like, in the sky.
I love that.
Yeah, like, literally. And yeah. I don't know where that came from, because it didn't come from me. I was never, like, focusing on that for some reason. Like, it just started appearing every time I was, like, the plane was going down the runway. Anyways, so that's been happening since my teens, and you know, Joan of Arc is actually one of my guides and whatever. So yeah, while I'm flying, she and, like, the angels that surround her are usually, like, the entities that I talk to if something's going up on with the plane, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if we're hitting turbulence, I'll close my eyes and be like, hey, Joan, like, and the angels, will you, like, study the plane? Like, that's just kind of what has evolved to become my routine on the plane.
Yeah.
You know? out of no religious or, you know, specific following to her, although I have always felt an affinity for her. So I'm flying into Peru, and there's actually like 3 more hours to go in the flight, but you know, you can see there's the maps on long flights like that, and you mm-hmm. can see where the plane is, mm-hmm. right? It'll show you where you are. So I knew that we were in Peruvian like airspace, even mm-hmm. though I think the plane was technically, we were landing in La Paz, Bolivia, but we were still flying over Peru.
Oh.
So there started to be turbulence, pretty bad turbulence. And immediately I go inside, you know, internal, to ask Joan of Arc and the angels that fly with me to stabilize the plane, and they weren't there. Immediately,
wow.
what I felt was these deep, old, ancient mountains, Peruvian mountains, with they were sentient, like as though mm-hmm. there were beings
yeah.
in these mountains, or the mountains were the beings themselves.
Yeah.
I did not try to think this. This is just what happened when I went to my go-to to help stabilize the plane. And I don't know how to describe it other than, like, this deep, like, whoa, there are deep, old, ancient mountains here. And this is their territory, they are going to take care of this.
Wow.
Like, this was their thing
now
because we had crossed into their boundaries.
Whew.
Like,
so cool.
So that was a really amazing experience. And I know that you have traveled in a lot of different places, and I'm curious if you have any thing to add about like the energies or the spirits of any of the places that you've been.
Yeah.
And I know that in Iceland, they talk a lot about the hidden people.
The hidden people, yeah.
And I totally sense them.
Yes, yeah. Actually, that's so funny. So, I can talk about like positive and negative, even though I try not to prescribe to that binary most of the time. So in Iceland, it's great to be talking so much about Iceland because I feel like it's where my soul originates. Actually going up way up north, at the time, I haven't been back, but 6 years ago, there were no travelers. There was no one around. And I was very lucky to see things as they are, or as they were, just for like the locals. And, there were entire areas that you couldn't go near because they were blocked off for elves and for fairies and for the hidden people. And then there was one area that I got to go to where, instead of being blocked off, there was a path, but you couldn't venture off the path because it was like you would be essentially stepping onto what they knew to be the territory of the elves. And while I was there, I could not stop laughing. Like there was a playfulness and a joy that was there. And it was so clear that I wasn't alone. And I just started talking out loud because I was like, hi, I'm here. Like, I'm totally not trying to like do anything other than just walk here and thank you for having me. And like, it was a joyful space. It was really, really cool. So I've definitely had the pleasure of that, which has been awesome.
Wow.
I've had times where it didn't feel great to be there, but actually just on this trip kind of trumps all other moments like that for me. When I was in Shanghai, in China, it was my first time in China, and I have no idea if I would feel this way going into any other part of China. China's obviously absolutely enormous, and there are definitely different energies in different parts of the country, and I think I can even feel that sitting from here, that if I were like, you know, Beijing, Great Wall, like what would that be like versus Shanghai? But in Shanghai, I got off the plane and was immediately in total struggle. And I didn't even think that I recognized, it's much easier for me to recognize like the energies of a place when it's like, it feels good to me. I'm like, oh yeah, like this place is bringing me joy, like great. But then when I'm in a place where it's really hard for me, I tend to think that it's coming from me. And I'm like, I'm the worst. I'm doing something wrong here. What's wrong with you? As opposed to like recognizing that the place is having that effect on me. And that was totally what was happening in Shanghai. So me being there, I was running into hiccups. The air quality was just so bad. And we've been talking about air quality nonstop. But the air quality in Southeast Asia was just like fires from farms. And this was like very innocent sense. Here, it literally smells like a mix of sulfur and factory and cigarettes, like literally everywhere. It was waking me up in the middle of the night. It was terrible. And it was just a very, very heavy energy. And there was nothing that I could pinpoint necessarily where I was even tuned in enough to be able to name it, to say like, oh, this is what's going on. But then I left. I think we only had one night. And literally the minute that I got off the ground in the plane, I felt a lightness. I started laughing, and I hadn't, you know, I'd had such a terrible time there that I hadn't even been able to like laugh things off while I was there. And, just even leaving the ground immediately, I felt a sense of lightness. And then you and I kind of talked about it, and we figured out exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So kind of that dual nature there.
Every place has its own energy and its own memories and its own history and its own pain, yeah. And its own joys. And it's a hard thing to realize if you don't travel very often either. And I was able to help you pinpoint that, I think, because I had just had a really similar experience between when I was in Cambodia and then when I left there and landed in Thailand. The energies were completely different.
Totally.
And I was having kind of a struggle time in Cambodia. Love the country, beautiful people. You know, none of this is a comment for me, like, or a criticism or a judgment on any of the countries we're talking about at all. It's simply one person's or two people's experiences at that place and time. But when I landed in Thailand, there was such a lightness in the energy that I felt there immediately. And I recognized that, you know, some of the pain and hardship that I was feeling in Cambodia was my own.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was not.
Yeah.
A lot of it was the energy of the place. And it was really a good lesson to recognize that and to be able to remember that as I move forward in my travels. And even looking back to places I've been and, like, seeing the kind of, you know, moods that I've been in and you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and actually that's an interesting catch that we can sometimes call it, like, it's, well, for me, it being easier to recognize that it's the place making me happy or like that I'm picking up on happiness in the place. Whereas like when it's hard, I think it's me, something's wrong with me.
And I thought the same thing while I was in Cambodia.
I remember.
And what's interesting is, you know, I've had a lot of foresight about this particular journey that I'm on. And I knew that Cambodia was going to be difficult.
Yeah.
I already knew that going in, but once I was there, and by difficult, I don't mean like bad in any way, just for our listeners, but just like it was going to be an emotional moment or something you know, of that nature when I was there. I just intuitively knew that. While I was there, I was so in it that I wasn't able to even recognize, like, I'm here. I knew that this was going to happen. I knew this was going to feel this way until I left the country and landed on a different country's soil.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually, that's interesting because that sort of ties back into, like, that growth process that we're talking about. Like, that's part of it. Being in a place and having that reaction to the place and being like, huh, is this me? Is this the place? Growing from that.
Yeah, and that's actually, like, a really good, it's a really good lesson in general of learning. I think it's an ongoing thing that a lot of us are trying to do is what is mine and what is not mine.
Yeah.
What am I carrying that actually is mine and I want to keep? And what am I carrying that is absolutely not mine, but I'm still carrying around with me?
Huge.
Whether it's individuals, things, your friends, your family, your country,
your
country's energy, your country's baggage, you know, your school's history,
your community,
and what do we get to actually let go of and free ourselves from.
Yeah.
And traveling has been a really beautiful way of understanding the spirituality of that and, like, the metaphysics of energy and what we are all holding and what different places hold.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, actually, even within countries, different places within a country can shift, too. Obviously, the U.S. is so big that state to state is dramatically different.
City to city.
City to city, yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
And then even, say, like, you went to several different places in Thailand, and I'm sure you felt the difference between Chiang Mai and...
Yeah. Slight differences, but I will say that, like, all of Thailand kind of, like, had a similar fairly joyful vibe. Now,
awesome.
I was there right around and during their biggest holiday,
yeah,
as you were when we went to Chiang Mai,
yeah,
so there was also a lot of joyful, playful energy that maybe isn't there the whole time, but it was, I mean, even so, distinctly different from other countries.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That makes full sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, say if you go to Italy or something, it's, like, dramatically different to be in the northern part than the southern part.
Right.
But,
or then in Sicily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I attribute that to land masses a lot of times. Like, if you're near a crater that has its own, energy versus if you're near a mountain or a fjord, or, like, there's a lot going on with, like, geographically that, or geologically even, that will contribute to the energy of the space. It's been my experience.
Yeah. And along with that, you know, we were just talking about this a little bit before, was even in astrology, astrologers, you know, can use astrology to say where maybe, like, a more positive aspect, or a more negative, we don't like talking about, I guess, in positives and negatives, but different places have, you can see astrologically have different kind of aspects to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like an ease or, like a point of toughness, or, like, I always call it grit, that you want to make into a pearl.
Yeah. And I love that analogy. You've been using that. Well, you're helping me to learn how to go through my own chart on this journey, which is awesome. I heard one astrologer talk about it in terms of, because I was curious about how people can look at this, but actually, some astrologers will look at the first known, like, kind of birth of that place. So, for example, mm-hmm, like, for some places, like the United States, we have a very specific birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see what was going on astrologically at that time, mm-hmm, for places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. 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 You can do that on a population level, which you were talking about more, and you can also do that on an individual level. So you can see where a place fits into your chart and how you might interact with it. Yeah.
Totally.
It's really cool.
That is really cool. Well, I don't think, of course, that we've exhausted this topic at all.
No.
Because this, you could talk about, you know, the metaphysics of travel and spiritual experience while moving around the world for a long time. But I think we covered some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be curious to see what other people's experiences were too.
Yeah, me too. I've been, I will continue to ask our listeners to feel free to email in if you have something that you would like to share on this topic at info@letsgetmeta.com. If
yeah,
any of this touched you, if you've had experiences like this, or if, you know, we missed a glaring thing about expansion and metaphysics while traveling, like, please.
Which I'm sure we did.
Yeah, of course we did. Of course we did. But I love this topic. I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm super glad to have been able to do this with you, because we've been wanting to travel together for a long time. And the last time we did was,
yes,
about 10 years ago.
Yep, casual.
Casual. And yeah, I just thought that this would be a really good topic for us to touch on. And
yeah,
I've been thinking about it a lot, obviously, the last, like, 3 months while I've been traveling. And
yeah, you've had a bit of time.
Had a bit of time. Yeah. So thank you for joining me on this one.
Yeah, I love it.
Yay.
Love it.
Thank you so much for joining us for this discussion on the metaphysics of travel and spirituality and all the magical things that can happen while you're voyaging around the world. I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you did too. Again, if you want to share your experience, ask a question, or have a suggestion about an episode topic, please email us at info@letsgetmeta.com. If you want to hear more about my own spiritual and metaphysical experiences while traveling, I have so many that have happened in the last 3.5 months while I've traveled. Some are really, truly incredible, and I will be sharing a few of them in the bonus content of this episode with our patrons on Patreon. If you are interested in becoming a patron of the podcast, our patrons make this podcast keep going with their $2 a month donations, $5 a month donations. We are so grateful. Please consider becoming our patron at patreon.com/letsgetmeta, and you can hear the bonus content for this episode and more of my personal spiritual experiences while traveling, and some of them are just incredible.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the HANA Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. Audio editing by Zoe Ravenwood. The voice of the credits is me, Aries. Thanks for listening.